love. God's amazing love. PL and PD. When you get insurance, you get PL and PD. Well, where in the world did all of this come from, PL and PD? We're going to find out. First of all, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now, all the way from this period of time right here, from eternity past, all the way from Adam to Noah, to Moses, here, Abraham there, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to the providence of God. God has loved man, and God has tried His best, which is perfection, to confer upon man the understanding that God loves you. He loved man. He loves every animal out there in the forest. He loves every ox in the field or every donkey, every horse, every sheep, every goat, every bull, every cow. God has provided for all of them. He provided for all of them. What did God provide for a cow? Or how about a workhorse? Or how about an ox? What did He provide for them? Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, or wheat, really. It wasn't any corn in the land of Palestine at that time. You shall leave your field every seventh year for the animals of the forest and of the field, and of your neighbor, of the poor. We have insurance. God devised laws to protect man from the very beginning of time. We had the laws of Hammurabi, the laws of Hammurabi, the laws of both of those that had derived from God's laws concerning man. Man and man. Man and beast. Beast and man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The amazing love of God is just absolutely, when you look at it, you will see every facet of that love for man and for His creation. God created to have it as an object of love. Many people go out and they create hot rods. They create beautiful paintings that may be worshipped for 1,000 years by others. People create statues, works of art, that can be admired and loved for 1,000 years. And we know that, all the way from the Greek and Roman culture. Now let's look and see what God has said in Exodus. Wi'elei Shemot is the Hebrew name for that. The word Exodus is the way out. Wi'elei Shemot, it says, and these names. Wi'elei and these names. Wi'elei Shemot. The ordinance for the people of God, and all mankind. Now there are ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh year he shall go out as a free man without payment. If a man became so destitute that he had to sell himself or someone sold him, he could only be a slave for 6 years. Six is the number of man, isn't it? And if he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. Slaves have rights. Slaves' wives have rights. If his master gives him a wife, he shall bear him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall belong to her master. And he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says that I love my master and my wife and my children, I shall not go out as a free man. Here we have volition, freedom, freedom of choice, even to be a servant. We as children of God, love our God enough to serve Him and be servants. I remember in the Southern Baptist Convention in the Sunday school classes 10 years ago or so, they said that we are slaves, servants, doulos. And a lot of people came to me, I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave. I do. You're a slave to God or a slave to Satan, one or the other. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him for him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. And if a man sells his daughter or female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master, who designated her for himself as a sexual partner, a wife, then he shall let her be redeemed. Bought back and go out. He does not have authority to sell her as a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. And if he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters, just like anyone else, like any young lady. If he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, her clothing, or her marital, conjugal rights. In other words, her rights to him. And if he will not do these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing, without payment or money. Personal injuries now, PL and PD. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, this is premeditated murder. You decide to kill somebody. I've been on the hit list before, so have you, Marilyn. We slipped, didn't we? We slipped and got by. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I shall appoint for you a place to which he may flee. This is a city of refuge. But he has to stay there. He can never leave there. If, however, a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor, so as to kill him craftily, deceitfully, you are to take him even from my altar. They could run to the altar and hold on to the horns of the altar and say, I'm free, I'm free. God is protecting me. He said, I will not protect him. Take him from my altar that he may die. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. Kidnapping is a capital crime in God's eyes. Premeditated murder is a capital crime in God's eyes. What does capital mean? Relating to the capus, the head. In other words, to cut his head off, to stone him, to kill him. A death-dealing blow. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. This will make you want to be a good mother and good father, huh? You know, we've had a lot of killings by young people in the last few years by gun violence and by explosives, whatever. How would you like to be the mother? And many mothers and fathers are the mother and the father of these vicious children that have done this. Among the American Indian people, if you raise a child, it turned real bad. It was your responsibility to kill the child. You were supposed to deal with it, or else you turned the child out, and it became disowned by that tribe. And there's where we had the Comancheros. The Comancheros were a group of disowned Indians. They were criminals. And they got together and became bona fide congregation of criminals. And if a man have a quarrel, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but remains in bed. PL and PD, for God so loved the world. God's amazing love. And if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, in other words, a crutch, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time. I remember during the Vietnam War, of course, a lot of boys were over there dying. And we look back on that now and we know what in the world that was all about. It was all about LBJ. Money. The war machine. The poor men dying over there. The poor men dying. By the thousands. Out there risking their lives for the honor of this country. Even though it was a dishonorable thing that the country was doing. Their men should be honored. The men that caused it should be exposed. He shall only pay for his loss of time. He shall take care of him until he is completely healed. During the Vietnam War, I worked out in the oil fields. You may as well have been on the front line because it kills you every day. Every day somebody died or was maimed. When you went out, you signed the logbook and it says that the company was not responsible. They paid you hazardous duty pay. If you got killed, it was your own fault. They kill you and get another one. I walked into boilers when we were doing workovers on boilers. 150, 175 degrees and they're sweating like rain off of me. Standing on 2x12 boards that were on fire because the floor was so hot. You couldn't walk on the floor. We were chipping the coke off and replacing the tiles on the boiler tubes and rattling them down there, cleaning them out. When I got hurt in the oil fields, I was out there working. It was so raining so hard out there in Bell Ridge in California that the crane couldn't get there. They were having trouble trying to get there. The ground was so slick. They had us pick up all the heavy things and put them on the catwalk and on the drawworks and get ready for the cranes to come when they could get in and come in with chains. I got hurt that day. We picked up too much weight. Too dangerous. My life changed that day. I went from a strong man to a cripple, to almost a paraplegic. It almost paralyzed. Well, it did paralyze me. They had to fuse the whole lower part of my back. $1,759 is what I got for that destruction. And they didn't even want to pay that. That's all. They wouldn't pay any doctor bills, nothing. I had to have an operation to fuse my whole lower back together. They didn't pay a dime of it. PL and PD. God didn't design things like that. And I look back now and I thank God for that. Because that put me down for several years where I couldn't hardly get around and do anything. And I studied God's Word. God put me flat. I became a student of God's Word. From the Greek and the Hebrew. I studied everything in sight. I was in so much pain, I got my mind off of the pain. He shall only pay for the loss of time and shall take care of him until he is completely healed. And if a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod, and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for he is his property. Boy, isn't it terrible to be somebody else's property? And yet we are so many times. And if a man struggle with each other and strike a woman with child, so that she is miscarried, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined, as a woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. What judges? The Sanhedrin. That's the same Sanhedrin court that condemned Jesus to death that Moses and Jethro devised. But if there is any further injury, then he shall appoint a penalty, life for life. Life for life. Eye for eye. You hear this. You knock out a man's eye, your eye's going to get put out. Just think about that for a while. You'll be a little careful about what you do. If you knocked a man's eye out, you would be publicly taken and your eye would be gouged out. That's the eye for an eye. Tooth for tooth. You knock a man's tooth out, your tooth gets knocked out. Hand for hand. If you destroy his hand, your hand gets destroyed too. Foot for foot. Burn for burn. You burn him, you brand him, you get branded. Wound for wound. Bruise for bruise. You bruise him, you get bruised too. I remember young people are so stupid. Youth is wasted on the young. You know that? Youth is totally wasted on the young. I remember, and you do too, Marilyn, I'm sure, when these little village idiots were running around hitting each other on the arm and causing mouses or bumps to come up on them. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. That's stupidity. Yeah. Now, if you bruise a man like that, you get bruised like that. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free because of what he did. If he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of his tooth because of what you did. It's the law. I wonder if they followed that law on those Mississippi and Georgia plantations and down in those countries. Put a stripe on your slave, you get a stripe on you. Knock your slave's tooth out, you get your tooth knocked out. And if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, because it could be rabid. It could have rabies. But the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. Now, wait a minute now. Maybe not. Maybe not. PL and PD. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. That's right. You got a bad horse, a bad bull, you better take care of him or you're going to be put to death. Now, cowboys. You know, I'm an old cowboy. You know that, Marilyn? Am I an old cowboy? Yeah. I got all the scars and bruises and broken things to prove it. My dad, Dale Remling, had a very close friend, Slim Pickens, Monty Montana, and I met all of them, and Joaquin Sanchez. They were rodeo clowns. And Monty Montana was a roper, but Joaquin Sanchez and Slim Pickens were wonderful writers. You look at some of the old movies with Slim Pickens in it, you're going to see a man that can ride a horse. A man that can ride a horse. Joel McRae was a cowboy. He could ride a horse. You ever see him come up to a stop out there in front of somebody's house and he hit the ground walking before the horse stopped? Because he was a bulldogger and a calf roper. He knew how to do that. They flirt with death. My dad won world champion Brahma bull rider in the 1940s. But the bull, after he rode the bull, his hand was caught in the rope that he tied onto the bull with the surcingle. And the bull drug him around the Cow Palace arena with a horn through his body. He gored him through his body. Slim Pickens and Joaquin Sanchez saved his life. Marilyn, we watched some movies today about bull riding, didn't we? Those clowns saved the bull rider's life and the bronc rider's life. They get between in harm's way, don't they? Flirting with death. Now, during this time, if you had a bull like that, and that bull killed somebody, you're going to be in trouble. These guys, I have a cousin by the name of George Paul. You look up George Paul, and George Paul is the greatest bull rider in the history of bull riding. That's my cousin. He rode 79 bulls in a row. And many of them had never been ridden before. He stuck on bulls like a glue. Like he's super glued to them. He set records that nobody else will ever come near. The closest man to ride was 48 bulls. George Paul rode 79. The year he was killed, and he was killed about 2/3 of the year in his airplane, this Beechcraft airplane, he still won world champion bull rider. In Texas, there is a stadium named after George Paul Memorial Stadium. I think it's in Del Rio, Texas. 23 years old when he died in that dangerous, dangerous game he was playing. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and he kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death. God's going to take care of that problem. Now we break all the rules and have bull riding and bull fighting. if a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give it for the redemption of his own life, whatever is demanded of him. Whatever. Not under his control anymore. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, he shall be done to him according to the same rule. I'm glad that God looks upon men and women in many ways the same. We all get saved the same way. Repent and believe. If an ox gores a male or a female slave, the owner shall give his life of his master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Now, 30 shekels of silver, isn't that what the price for Jesus was? If a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. PL and PD. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his. If a man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally. Also, they shall divide the dead ox. Or if it is known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not combined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. If a man steals an ox, or a sheep, or slaughters it, or sells it, he shall pay the fine. He shall pay five oxen for the ox and four sheep for the sheep, four times the price. Remember when Zacchaeus came down out of that mulberry tree down there in Jericho? He said, I'll repay every bad that I've robbed. He was a tax collector. He was a thief. If a thief is caught while breaking in and struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guiltiness on the account of the man that killed him. You have a right to defend yourself and your property. But if the sun rises on him, and there shall be blood guiltness on his account, he shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. That would stop thieves. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or a vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that the stacked grain or standing grain in the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution, PL and PD. For God so loved, that's why we have these laws. Because God loves man. And God wants to protect you from one another. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, you've heard of that, haven't you, breach of trust? That's designed by God. For every breach of trust, whether it is for ox or donkey, for sheep or clothing, for any lost thing about which one says that is it, the case of both parties shall come before the judges, and he who the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor's donkey or an ox or sheep or any animal to keep for him, And it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, didn't steal it, didn't cheat him out of it, and accept it, he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. You remember True Grit and that little old gal? She said, my father's horse, while it was stolen, while it was in your care. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as an evidence. He shall not make restitution for it has been torn to pieces. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. This, I wish it was a good bone John Deere tractor, don't you, Marilyn?
Yeah.
You had to pay for what you tore up?
Yeah.
If an owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it is hired, it came for its hire. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. You go rape a woman, you go seduce a woman, and you pay her dowry. You deceived her. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry for the virgin. He shall not allow a sorceress to live. You shall not allow a witch to live, a conjurer. These are many, many laws. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Syphilis came from sheep. And it came from these Canaanite people. He who sacrifices to any god or other than the Lord alone shall be utterly destroyed. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and he does cry out to me, I shall surely hear his cry. And my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall become widows, and your children shall become fatherless. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you shall not act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him that very night, as the sun sets, to keep him warm. For that is his only covering, and it is cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? It shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am a loving God. I am gracious. I'm a man of loving kindness. You shall not curse God, nor curse the ruler, nor your people. You shall not delay the offering from your harvest or your vintage. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Because God gave his firstborn to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You shall do the same with your oxen, with your sheep, and it shall be with its mother. 7 days, on the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. There you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in the field. You shall sow it to the dogs. In the 23rd chapter, it talks about the Sabbath of the Lamb. And you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield. But on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people, this is welfare now, people, this is gleaners, so that the needy of your people, every farmer used to let people go into their crops after they harvested. The gleaners. Every farmer used to do that. And this is where it came from. The needy of your people may eat whatever they leave. The beast of the field, the animals God loves, the beast of the field may eat it. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. Six days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from your labor in order that your oxen, your animals, your horses, your donkey may rest. God loves them. But by greed men would not let them rest. So that your ox or your donkey may rest, and the son or your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Now covering everything which I have said to you, be on your guard, and do not mention the name of other gods, lest let them be heard from your mouth. For God so loved the world that He gave animals rest, that He took care of the injured, that He took care of those that were murdered, that He honored their lives, that He took care of the slave that had his tooth knocked out and his eye knocked out or his ear damaged. Any of those things, the master was responsible for. For God so loved the world. So God so loved the donkeys and the ox and the horses and the sheep of the field and the wild beasts of the field that He gave them the seventh year to get fat. Our Heavenly Father, we send out this message. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your amazing love and how that You set the laws of PL and PD, property liability and property damage. Father, thank You for that love, Your amazing love. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You that You've watched over us for every little thing that we need in this world. Father, I pray for all of my students all over the world. Thank You for those that help monetarily and with prayer. Father, thank You for them. Thank You for the trust that You've given in me to feed them. I pray for all of them. Father, please forgive me where I failed You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.